very familiar verses. I'd like to focus on one of those verses today. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 11. Harvest is about God's provision. God's provision is not just material, it's spiritual also. And I'd like to go on and talk this morning about how God can, if we participate in life with him, give us each day, not only materially what we need, but spiritually what we need. Let's be mindful of that. I'd just like to start to get up to speed those people that might not have been with us the past few weeks. I think it's good to just continue on the same journey together, actually. For those of you that aren't aware by now, this is our vision. We're about connecting with God. That's the gospel. People who are not connected with God through salvation become connected with God. So through focusing on that, we have got the gospel at the heart of our vision. In terms of our lives together, we are being disciples together. The gospel is a transformational gospel. It doesn't leave you the same, it changes you. So as you participate in life together, being disciples together, the gospel changes you. And finally, the third dimension, which is the missional dimension, we live mission-shaped lives together. We take the gospel out into our homes, into our workplaces, into our leisure places. And the gospel is the way we live our lives, the shape of our lives, the fruit of the Spirit within us, the character that we take into those places we go to, the power of the Holy Spirit that we take with us, is God's presence where we go. And we join him in what he's doing in other people's lives. So our vision is connecting with God, being disciples together, living mission-shaped lives together. It's biblically based, it's incarnational, it's God with us. And I think it's a good vision. It's a challenging one, because it does require us to have a spiritual life, a devotional life that is connected with God. It does require us to live life together and share space in sometimes difficult moments where we are transformed as individuals, we become more Christ-like. And it does require that we have some space in our lives for people who are not yet Christian, whether that's at work or at home or at our leisure time. It does require us giving relational space to others. So there's not an easy vision, but I think it's a biblical one, and I think it's one that will grow the kingdom. And on this day, on Harvest Day, this is the way that we can press into the harvest that God is preparing for his kingdom. So we focused in the past few weeks about the fact that our priorities this autumn, these are all of our priorities: prayer, worship, shared space, gift of the Spirit, discipleship. As we're pressing into those, the particular focus is on prayer and the Holy Spirit and how those go together, whilst not forgetting all the missional stuff that we reminded each other of earlier. There's lots to juggle in our heads, but my hope is that as this becomes natural, as this becomes the way we live, it becomes the way we talk with one another, and the reminding becomes actually the natural way of being. So pressing into prayer and gifts of the Spirit, we noticed that Spirit and truth go together. We have the fire of the Spirit and the light of the Word. One without the other is incomplete. We noticed that. We also noticed that the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, means more than the Spirit upon somebody and more than the Spirit within somebody. It is both. To be filled with the Spirit means to have the Spirit within you, and on occasion, at God's sovereign desire, to have the Spirit upon you for some particular thing at a particular time. That's the inward and the outward work of the Spirit. It's about character and gifting. The fruit of the Spirit is the character. The gifting is the Spirit upon. You need both. Just like you need the fire of the Spirit and the light of the Word, you need the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. It's about purity and power, about the ordinary and the extraordinary going together. So that's the trajectory of the past few weeks that we've been thinking about. And for those of you that are thinking, well, what's all that about then? Do go and catch up. The sermons are downloadable. You can listen to them. We are on the same journey, so let's keep aware of what that journey is. I don't want anybody to get left behind on this. Because this is fundamental, actually. God has already placed within each of us gifts for his kingdom. And God is developing within each of you a character to go with those gifts. Most of you that have known me over the past 15 years will know that 15 years ago I could preach, but I definitely did not have the character to go anywhere remotely leading a church. Now, I'm not pretending that I'm a completely formed person. I've still got a lot to learn. But what's changed the past 15 years is my character, I think. I would put that same opportunity before you, the path that God is laying before you. He's already put the gifts in front of you, within you even. He's offering you the opportunity to walk a road, sometimes difficult, sometimes glorious, that will form your character. It will form your character such that when you go into the workplace, when you are at home, when you are with your friends at leisure time, the fruit of the Spirit will be so evident that it will be clear that you're not quite the same. So our priority is a Spirit-filled, prayerful spirituality, balanced, because it's about the light of the Word and the fire of the Spirit, and about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. It requires that balance. So as we take those truths and move into thinking about prayer and God's provision, I'd just like to remind you about those sources of truth. There are ways of connecting with truth about God. Scripture is one of them. It's really important. Read the Bible. It's really important. The light of the Word is essential. Experience is really important. My hope, and I believe this to be true, that each of you has experienced God in some way. Nobody can take that away from you. And you read Scripture and you walk the path of life with that experience. It changes you in some way. He changes you in some way. And experience is a source of your theology. What you think about God is partly how you've experienced God. But experience without Scripture can get off track. You need the light of the Word to show you the right path to walk. And Scripture without experience can be really dry. You need the experience of God to fully understand what Scripture contains. You need both. The Methodists suggest that we need two more, and I think I agree with them. This is something called the Wesleyan quadrilateral. Wesley's originally an Anglican, became a Methodist. And if you go to most Bible colleges, they would teach you this, saying that, how do people know about God? What's your source of theology? And they would suggest these, and I agree with them. You know about God through Scripture. You know about God through your experience. You also know about God from the tradition you belong to. The community that you are called into, that you're part of, form who you are. You get some of your beliefs from the tradition that you spend time with. Now, Christian tradition is actually quite varied when you look at it. 2,000 years worth of history, goodness knows how many churches. 7 churches in this town, all of which are reasonably alive and well, actually. And that's a good thing. Each one has a slightly different flavor of Christianity. And we need to be mindful of our tradition and what we, how we form one another. But I think to be balanced, we also need to be mindful of other people's traditions, because we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And actually, in that cross-fertilization, we might just see the kingdom grow a bit more. Let's notice what's unique and different about us and how God is calling us to be the people of God here. But let us not dismiss the people of God elsewhere in this town as irrelevant. They are not. We are all in the kingdom. You wouldn't have found that in a Baptist church 25 years ago, I don't think. That's a Greek Orthodox icon. We can talk about it later if you like. And fourthly, and you will know this about me, I think thinking is really important. God gave us intellect. God gave us minds. The discipleship of the mind is as important as the discipleship of the way you live. Reason is a source of truth about God. It is possible to talk with people and argue that God exists, that miracles can happen. To have a balanced faith, my suggestion to you is you need to have a stool you're sitting on with a leg in each of those four areas. If you're looking at those and think, well, yeah, I'm big on experience and I read the Bible, but I'm not really that aware of tradition, and I think reason, yeah, you shouldn't think too much, really. It's not good for you. I would suggest you have an unbalanced faith. Equally, if you're somebody that is very head knowledge and only thinks and is very set in the tradition that you come from, so that you will not have anything to do with somebody that worships at a different church, I would suggest that you have an unbalanced faith. You're missing out on experience of God. The positive is there's an awful lot of places you can find God. And that's not unsurprising, because Scripture says God is in all things. Colossians chapter 1. God is in all things. Everything. So he's in the Bible, he's in your experience, he's in the tradition of the church here, he's in Holy Trinity as they're meeting up the road this morning. Dare I say it, I believe he's in the Catholic Church the other side of town this morning. Okay? And he might even have been here when I gave my lectures over the summer when we were thinking together. So a balanced spirituality is a balance between knowing God directly and knowing your Bibles, knowing Scripture, about being is about character, it's about personal experience of God. A disciple of Christ is known and identified by the love they have for others, and I believe by the fruit of the Spirit that you can see. You can see in yourself, if you're honest, whether you're changing or not. And a balanced spirituality includes doing, developing the gifts God's placed within you, the skills, and this is the key, in the service of others. Using the gifts you have in the service of others. Knowing, being, doing. So that's kind of like a preamble for the fact that when we press into prayer, as we've noticed from thinking about this picture here, and as we've noticed from studying the Lord's Prayer, verse by verse over the past year, prayer is, you could say, the whole of Christian life. Prayer is, in essence, participating in life with God. And what this icon represents is the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, offering you to come and join them at the open fourth side of the table, participating in life with them, joining in their life as they eternally live life together. I think it's a beautiful picture. It draws you into the truth that being connected with God is about participating in God's life. And it gives you life, and you then have life to give to others. It's the gospel. Being connected with God is the gospel. And those that aren't connected with God need it. Mm-hmm. Like I alluded to, it's my belief, I've come to see, having spent time at LST, that video from Tearfund earlier, that was London School of Theology, that's where I spent 6 years of my life part-time. It's a brilliant place, fantastic. It's interdenominational. It's about 60% Baptist, but 40% other churches. You have Methodists and Lutherans and other people there. It's got the largest Protestant library in Europe, and it's got a very you go into the chapel and there's flags around there from all the nations where the people studying are from, and there must be 40 or 50 flags there. It's a great place, great place. And something I learned there is humility, actually, about the fact that, you know what, I went there thinking I knew it all. There's that tendency from middle class people who have kind of been successful in life to think, yeah, I know it. I had that knocked out of me firmly. And I've come to appreciate the rich tapestry of Christian spirituality that I can benefit from and other people can benefit from if I press into it. The well is deep, is what I want to say to you. You know, our tradition here is just one facet of God's glorious diamond of the church. Don't be afraid of the rest of his diamond. The well is very deep indeed. And so I want to suggest to you that I think this is a praying church. I like the fact that this church prays. I feel moved by people's intercessions. Let me tell you that there are many churches where if you left space for people to openly pray like we do, it would remain silent. People haven't got that knack of interceding. This is a church that intercedes. I think that's really healthy. Something that I need to do as pastor, as an elder of the church, is to oversee and bring balance to the spirituality of the church and say, yes, that's good. Let's encourage that. What would bring balance? What would bring wholeness? What more is there that we need to be mindful of? And what I want to suggest to you, and you've heard me say this a bit already, is that prayer is participating in the whole life of God. And it has three movements. There's a book by Richard Foster on prayer that has this great book. If you want to read a book on prayer, I recommend it to you. It has three sections. And very helpfully, and as I was mentioning to the Richard Wall the other day, he went, oh no. Very helpfully, you can put it into a triangle. I'm deeply into visual things because I think it's helpful, really. You can move upward in prayer life. You can move inward in prayer life, and you can move outward in prayer life. It's participating in the whole life of God. Each of you will be drawn naturally to one of those areas, and that's a good thing, but be mindful of the other dimensions, because if you want to be complete and rounded and mature as a Christian and as a church, you need to be aware of all those three dimensions. And if you put it into prayer language, I think it means this: seeking intimacy, connecting with God through prayer. That's the upward movement. Seeking transformation. That's the inward movement. Being a disciple of Christ through prayer with God. And seeking ministry, which is the one that I think we tend to emphasize. That's doing stuff with God, interceding for people, asking God to do something, healing prayer, prophetic prayer, seeking ministry through prayer with God. That's an outward movement of prayer. They are all important, just like character and giftings is important. Seeking intimacy, seeking transformation, seeking ministry. What does that look like? Well, intimacy is things like adoration. In the series of sermons I did in July, we looked at the prayer of adoration, which really is the prayer of worship. It's based on Psalm 103. We looked at the fact that gratitude, out of gratitude, arises adoration. That prayer of adoration is a prayer of worship. Worship is prayer. It leads to intimacy. It's an upward movement. There are other styles of prayer through the Christian traditions that we can press into there. Intimacy comes through some forms of unceasing prayer, just continually trying to be aware of God's presence, or a prayer of the heart that somehow connects with God at an intimate level. The prayer of ministry is the outward power of the Spirit type stuff, interceding, healing prayer, prophetic prayer, where God gives you a word of knowledge about somebody that changes their life. You have to be careful with that. But when you are careful and mindful of God's movement, boy, can it be powerful. And the one I just want to give a little bit of time to today, in a few minutes, on transformation. I want to leave you with some thoughts on transformation. Okay. This, I think, is the hardest dimension, because it requires that you give space to being you before God, and honestly being you before God. This is me, God. And being willing to change. That's quite hard. Now, for a couple of reasons, I want to show you a little video clip now. One is my voice is going, I've got a bit of a cold. And secondly, what I want to say is actually in a video that I've made that's on a website. So I'm going to hand over to me. I'm going to have to talk. I'll say what I said. Is it going to work? Oh, that's quite funny. There's a great website called Prayer 11. It's set up by a guy in Nottingham, based on this book by Foster. Thank you, Viridian. Saved my voice a bit. There you have it, the examine. It's a sort of a prayer of transformation, which I think is a good thing to give space to if you want to look into it. There are other ways of transforming. Ultimately, it's God who will lead you into the right kind of prayer life for your personality. But do give room for transformation somewhere. I think it's really important. I'm going to round up the spoken word part of the service now. And I think, although we have reached 12, I think it would be good to end with some sung worship, if that's all right. Thank you, Nigel, for your patience. So, seeking in.